All right, welcome to the podcast, dude, episode number 73. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I'm here to help you make an awesome podcast. So this week, it's actually the second part of my interview with Sean Blanc, where we talked about deep work and focus and why it's important and why it can change your life. So if you didn't listen to the first episode, go to thepodcastdude.com/72 and go listen to that. This is actually half of that, the second half of that episode, along with some questions and answers that we did after the show. So I just kind of edited some stuff up and put it together. It's good. Okay, so I'll say this about this episode. Reading Cal Newport's Deep Work book is one of the best investments that I've ever made. The focus and clarity I got from that book helped me produce two huge online courses this year while working full-time as a podcast editor for Sean West. And it also helped me lose 20 pounds and get into the best shape of my life while training for an Ironman triathlon. So put simply, deep work was a game changer for me, and I highly recommend it. So in this episode, Sean and I, we also had a great discussion about pricing your online products, why you can charge more than you think you can, how to create a morning routine that will supercharge your daily productivity, what you need to be focusing on every day, and why it's important to just choose one thing for a while and get really good at it, and so much other great stuff. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's go ahead and jump in. I feel really connected with you in terms of we both really loved Cal Newport's Deep Work book.
Yes.
And it's something I think when did you read that and start getting passionate about the idea of intense focus and, you know, structuring your life in a way to make sure you get your best creative work done? When did you find that book or that idea and then really start working on it?
I think I found the idea years ago. So when I was the creative director, marketing director, I mentioned I was doing 80 hours a week, and part of my schedule was Fridays. I would come home and it was work from home Friday for me, and I would not be on email and I wouldn't answer the phone. And so I had an assistant. And so basically anyone that needed to get a hold of me actually had to go through my assistant. And then she would basically screen anything that if it was urgent or important, like for the day right away, then you know, she would get a hold of me for that. But otherwise, I would set up this distraction-free work time for myself on Fridays, because as the director for the marketing and all the creative stuff that we're doing, like it was on me to make sure that our marketing campaign for this big end of year 25,000 person conference, we had to make sure that it was going to happen. You know, and so it was like on me. I had to drive that, and you can't do that in like 10-minute. You know, thought exercises scattered throughout your day. Like you need times of just, you know, long stretches of uninterrupted time to think and just process and come up with ideas and work on stuff. So that was kind of like my first experience going like, I got to have this. If I don't have this, I won't be able to do my job. And I will always be in reaction mode. So that was kind of like the first experience. So that's, you know, 2008 that I'm coming across that idea, that necessity. It was kind of born out of necessity for me. And obviously, like, that's not a new, you know, it's not new to the world, you know, but it was new to me. And then when I quit my job and started blogging for a living, I also kind of had that same spot of like, I got to make sure that I'm setting aside time every day to just write without distractions and intentionally. And so that's obviously kind of evolved. And as we've had kids and schedules have changed and things have just go up and down and seasons of life, like having that as a priority of going, I need uninterrupted stretches of time on a regular basis to do my most important work and to focus on the stuff that's not urgent today, but is very important. And if I neglect it, it will become urgent. Or if I neglect it, then the needle's going to start going backwards and I'm going to begin losing ground or whatever. And so basically, like that was, you know, it's kind of always been important. So then I come across Cal's book, So Good They Can't Ignore You. I read that in 2015. And fantastic, fantastic book. And there was this chapter in there on like intentional practice. And that chapter just like resonated with me so much. Of, you know, it's very similar to what Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, or, you know, Mihaly C, he has this book called Flow, Finding Flow, whatever, right? And I actually have a text expander snippet for...
I'm laughing really hard because I actually listened to your interview with Cal Newport yesterday again for a second time, and you had that same exact problem. Nobody knows how to pronounce that, guys.
I'm pretty sure it's Csikszentmihalyi, right? So Mihai...
Csikszentmihalyi.
Csikszentmihalyi. It's like... whatever, like five syllables in that last name. But yeah, Cal just calls him Mihai C, which is a little bit easier.
I like that.
A little bit
like
easier that. To say. So he has a lot of books on the very similar topic of finding flow, getting in the flow, whatever, right? He's got one book called Flow, another called Finding Flow. But anyways, excellent stuff, right? And it's this idea that not only do you need those times of uninterrupted work, but then when you're in that moment, like if you can get into the flow, like it's challenging, it's hard, et cetera. But then on the outside, you actually, it's more, you feel more rewarded. You feel better. Mm-hmm. Like you just have a higher mm-hmm. motivation about the work that you're doing. You feel like you accomplished something, right? And I mean, I don't know if you ever have, if anyone in the chat or listening can relate to this, you spend your whole day just kind of in reaction mode, bouncing around between your email inbox, your Twitter inbox, your Facebook feed, your Instagram feed, back to email, back to Twitter, back to Instagram, back to Facebook, back to email, right? You're just bouncing around all these inboxes. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, wow, like I just spent 4 hours and haven't done anything, right? You just feel like
you read a bunch of short emails. Maybe you replied, maybe you sent some tweets, maybe you saw some articles. It's so easy to spend all day doing like these little short, quick tasks that don't really change anything.
Right, exactly. They don't change anything. And you feel zero satisfaction afterwards. You don't feel like you got anything done. As opposed to if you took that 4 hours and instead spent it focused on something intentional, something that was challenging, and you're working on that. When you come out of that time, you know, maybe it's just 1 hour, maybe it's just half an hour, whatever it is, but it's distraction free and you're focused and you're being intentional. You come out, right? Like you feel better. You actually feel more motivated. You actually have more energy. And it's actually this muscle, like you have this focus muscle that you got to work on, as opposed to the distraction muscle that, you know, you allow that to get in. And the hardest thing, the hardest thing for getting into that focused work time or getting into the flow is it's called the activation energy, or like just getting started. It's that first 5 minutes, right? Like that is like the first 5 minutes are the hardest. And so something that I like to do with this is I have a set time every day when I'm going to have my focused writing time. And beforehand, before I even get there, the day before, I write down like what is like my single most important thing like that I'm going to be writing about during my focused writing time, right? So now I have the time on my calendar and I already have the like what is the challenge I'm going to be working on? What's the project I'm going to be doing? What is the task? What is the, you know, as Cal Newport would say, what's the artifact that I'm going to try to get from that time, that focused time? And then I just got to sit down and do the work and know that the first 5 minutes is going to be like, ugh, like I'm probably not going to be into it for the first 5 minutes, but to power through that first 5 minutes, and then you get into like what Mihai C talks about, you get into that flow and then time begins to kind of just get lost. And, you know, anyone who's been a painter, artist, you know, musician, whatever, like you can usually mm-hmm. relate to like, wow, man, I was just in the flow. I was just in it. You know, I was in the zone, right? And that's where your best work is going to be created. That's where you're going to feel the most satisfaction with your job. That's where you're going to like increase your skill level as a mm-hmm. creative person. You're going to actually like level up your ability to do stuff. And I mean, I know Sean has talked about this so much with his learned lettering stuff and his 9,000 hours of intentional practice. And, you know, just like that's what he was doing every day, was he had this focused time where he was practicing letters, and you just got to do the time. So anyways, I don't even know if I answered the question. We just kind of started
talking.
That was perfect.
That was perfect. Yeah, yeah. No, so definitely I would recommend just everyone should go read Cal Newport's books, So Good They Can't Ignore You and Deep Work. And I'll include a link to that in the show notes, which you can find at thepodcastdude.com/73. So both of those books are phenomenal. And it's just so important as podcasters. I like this, and I'll relate to what you said about writing to podcasting. Pick a day to create, to outline an episode or to outline and record an episode even, pick a day and then write the topic in advance and say that I'm going to spend 30 or 45 minutes at this time writing about this thing and then I'm going to record an episode. Because otherwise, what ends up happening, and this is true for so many areas in life, is you will spend a lot of time thinking about how you should do a thing. I've been thinking about how I should record a screencast for 3 weeks now. Like, hey, I've got to record that like introduction to limiting screencast for my logic course. And I've been thinking a lot about it and I haven't done it yet, which is so silly, but that's how it works. Like you got to do the pick a thing, pick a time, do the thing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, and that's such a simple version of an idea presented in deep work that is so life-changing. I talk about that book all the time because I love it and because I know there are still some people who have not read it yet. And it is like, it is a book that anyone who wants to create stuff for a living professionally needs to go listen to that book because it's so important.
Mm.
So yeah, we could talk about that for a long, long time. But I think, I don't know, man, I feel like you should do a whole series of videos or interviews where you talk about defocus for creative people. You know what I mean?
I do. I did some stuff, that page we were talking about earlier, thefocuscourse.com/margin. Actually interviewed Cal Newport. So we talked about this. I interviewed a few other folks and wrote some articles as well. And it was on this topic of basically having, margin in your life, like the breathing room, so that you can do your best creative work. And that's kind of like, that's kind of our mantra over there at the Focus Course is, showing up every day and doing your best creative work. And I think margin is a huge part of that. The deep work, the focus, obviously is a huge part of it. Because otherwise, you're just email inbox all the time. Like, that's no fun. So.
Awesome. Well, I love all that. Let's go ahead and jump into some questions. I know we got some great questions from the live chat. So the first one, we can start with this one. I don't know how to pronounce her name. Mariali. I hope that's somewhere close. She asked, how did you overcome the insecurity of giving birth to a new idea that you weren't sure people would respond well to? I think this was about her book, but it could be about anything.
Yeah, overcoming the fear of giving birth to a new idea that I wasn't sure people would respond to. I didn't overcome that fear. I just put it out there. I stuck to the plan. Basically, like the way that worked with the Delights in the Details with that book, I had done it as a little podcast miniseries for my members only podcast. And it was like a little 5-part, podcast and just got a lot of positive response from people. So I kind of had teased it out a little bit amongst people and just got a positive response. And then I was like, I should turn this into I should sell this for maybe like $5 as, a sample for the Sean Blanc membership thing or something like that, And then I was like, well, I got to rewrite I should rewrite it so it can be a little bit more structured and I'll re-record it so that it doesn't have the, welcome to the Sean Today show and things like that and re-record it so it's a little bit more of its own product. And then like, as I'm doing that, it goes from 5 episodes to like 12, and like all these extra chapters I end up writing. And then I was like, well, gosh, if I'm going to do this, I might as well just also interview some other people and then I can charge more for the thing. Instead of charging $10, I could charge like $20 and double my income. So basically like I built the thing. And then when I was getting ready to actually sell it, that was the hard part, was actually like that launch day. I was just super insecure and just felt bad and sick to my stomach. And so I texted a few friends of mine. I was like, man, this thing's coming out like in an hour and people are going to hate it. And everyone was just like, no, stick to your plan, put it out there. The people that I trusted, whose opinions and values I cared about and mattered to me, all said like, no, you're fine. Like, just keep going. And so I just listened to them and I did. I kept going and shipped the thing and just went, pushed through that fear. So I never overcame the fear. I just pushed through it and kept going. And then, you begin to learn that the fear actually becomes this mile marker for you. It becomes a signpost that you're actually probably doing something that matters and creating something of value. And so now I've kind of learned, like, when I feel that of like, this might not work, or holy crap, what am I doing? I'm in over my head. Goes, okay, well, let's keep going because I'm probably on to something that actually matters at this point.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fantastic advice. And then there's something else I've been thinking about a lot lately. I talked about this in the Fired Up Mondays podcast this morning, is that the market kind of decides what's valuable. And people will sometimes will look at a product that they don't think is worth as, you know, they don't think it's worth as much as the company is charging for. Let's say you look at a Lamborghini and you're like, well, I don't know why anyone would ever pay $400,000 for that car. Why would you want that car? Like, you could just buy a Toyota, a 1999 Toyota Camry that has 140,000 miles on it for $4,000. And this car works great. Like, it gets me everywhere. Good gas mileage, pretty comfortable. Not the most amazing sound system, but it does have a Bose sound system in it. So that's fine. Like, why would anyone spend $400,000 on a Lamborghini? Well, like, the way you feel about that product does not change the how much that product is worth or how much mm-hmm. the market is willing to pay for. There is somebody out there willing to pay that much money. They have that much money. It doesn't matter what you think about that product. Somebody else went out and made that, and they're going to make money from it. And you're going to be at home complaining about how somebody else is spending, you know, $300 for an Apple book.
Yep.
I've just been laughing so much about this whole thing. Like, it doesn't, how you feel about a price doesn't matter.
Yep. It's how the people that are buying it matter, you know? And so, yeah, to say, you know what, I'm not going to start Lamborghini company because used Toyota Corollas exist. Like, that's silly. Right.
But that's
how we feel. Yeah, you know, that's exactly. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so related to my courses, which I'm getting close to wrapping up, like, pricing is interesting for me. If I hadn't have met Sean and the people in the Sean West community, I think I would have charged a fraction. I probably would have charged closer to what, like, normal, what are the, like, the Udemy type, what is it, like, $20 for a course? Mm-hmm. I would have put all this time and energy into it and not priced it high enough because I didn't realize that there are people out there. Sean, did you know that there are people out there that sell courses for like $1,500, $1,000?
Yeah. $3,000. I bought someone's course recently that cost me $2,000 to buy their
$2,000?
Yeah.
So many people don't know that. We, like, a lot of us still think that $2,000 is a ton of money. And for mm-hmm. a lot of people it is. But that doesn't mean that you have to apply such a low price to the product that you're making just because you feel like $50 is a lot of money.
Yep, exactly.
That's a very easy trap to fall into.
It's very true. And I think you've got to step back and you've got to look at, this course I bought, it's like, for me, like, it was kind of a no-brainer because I bought the book that was written by the guy. And the book, I went through the book, implemented some of the stuff that was in there. And then it helps me launch my time management class, which did like $20,000 its first launch week. And so there was someone, okay, I spent like $18 on this guy's book and it helped me make $20,000. And so I'm going, surely, at that point, like the course was like a no brainer for me because I knew how much value was in the book, this masterclass version of that book, the online course version of it. I was like, it's gotta be a no brainer. And then there was a ton of, tons of videos and all this, implementation stuff and like coaching and all this stuff that was involved in it and all these extra things that you can do that can increase the value of your stuff. And it's like, you don't want to just jack the price up just because, I mean, you probably should, like, you start with your basic price and then like double it and then double it again. And now you're kind of at a decent starting point probably, just because you're so prone to undervaluing your own work. But then there's also this point where you don't just jack the price up just because people say so. Like, there's then a point where you need to look objectively and go, all right, am I providing the value? If someone pays, for me with the Focus course, like if someone comes in here and takes this thing and we charge $350 for it. So it's not a lot, but it's also not a little. Right. And so you look at it and I go, if someone spends $350 and actually goes through this course, are they going to be able to walk away with at least, ideally, I would want them to walk away with $700 worth of value, at least double the value that they're paying for, right? But can I get it even more? Can I get them to walk away with $3,500 worth of value, 10x the amount of value that I'm providing? And part of it is, you know, you just charge that. And if people will take it seriously, then absolutely. I think that they'll walk away with something that literally is going to change the way they spend their time with work, with family, with their health, with their finances, across the board for their life. And that's like, you kind of can't put a price on that, you know? And so you need to like objectively go, am I actually delivering on my promises and providing the value that I say I am? And, you know, Aaron, like with yourself, with the podcasting, it's like, man, you know, if I can help people get a podcast off the ground, they can turn that into a full-time business. That's worth $50,000, $100,000 for someone to, you know, like, hey, thanks to your stuff, I started a business that's now thriving and I now do this as my job. That's worth so much money, you know? So to charge 20 bucks for it, it's like, you know, like don't undervalue your stuff.
There will be people that skip over it because they assume that it's not quality enough, because if it was quality, I would be charging more.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much there. Okay. Two things. I want to answer Kyle's question here in the chat, but I actually am about to pee myself. So what I'm going to do, too real here. What I'm going
to
do is
welcome to the after show.
Right. Welcome to the after show, everyone. So I'm going to read Kyle's question and then I'm going to let you take a stab at it. And then I'm going to run to the bathroom and I'll be back and nobody will ever know, because I'm going to cut all of this out.
And
I'm going to miss like 20-30 seconds of your answer, but I'll jump back in too. Corey Miller, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. Okay, so I want to get to Kyle's question right here. He said, is there a best first step to improve focus? I can think of so many directions that I should go: exercise more, eat better, write down what I'm doing the next day, sleep better, etc. Trying to do it all at once isn't sustainable. Sean, what do you think about this?
This is awesome. I'm laughing at Corey Miller's comments right now. Don't laugh, Aaron. You won't make it.
I'll be back.
No, this is great, Kyle. That's actually an excellent, excellent question. So the best first step, I think there's, I feel like there's two best first steps, which obviously like doesn't make sense. You can only really have one. So what I like to do, we actually talk about this in the focus course. It's the very first day of the focus course. Is there's this super dorky assignment and you have to set out your clothes for what you're going to wear tomorrow. So it's like, tonight when you go to bed, pick out tomorrow's outfit. And like, it's super dorky, right? And you can do it in like 2 minutes. And then in the morning, you have to wear that outfit, right? So you have to actually follow through with your commitment. So you set this thing out and you say, okay, I'm going to wear these pants, I'm going to wear this shirt, et cetera. And then in the morning you wake up and you have to wear it. And so you've made a commitment to yourself the night before. And then in the morning you got up and you followed through on that commitment. And the reason I like this is because it's a small step towards strengthening what I like to call your personal integrity, which is kind of your ability to follow through with your commitments to yourself, which is super, like super powerful. So there's that. And then the other component to setting out your clothes the night before and then putting them out is it's your current self helping your future self. So you've saved your future self like 5 minutes in the morning, which for me is like, that's like the most, I feel like the quality of my time in the morning is like, that's when it's like super heavily weighted in terms of like, my mind is fresh. You know, it's the beginning of the day. It's the blank slate. There's no dumpster fires happening yet, anything like that. And so it's like, that's my best chance to get my best work done is early in the morning. And so I want to protect that time and I want to protect my mental energy like in the morning, right? So, anyways, it's this idea of like helping your future self. So this then, like once you kind of get your toe in that water, like you begin to see all the other areas of your life where you can begin to help your future self. And so like we were talking during the actual like podcast proper. So Kyle's like, yes, I've done this. Yes. So that's awesome, right? And like we were talking during the actual podcast, the main show, Aaron and I were talking about this idea of when you have that deep work focused time, trying to decide ahead of time what that focus is going to be. And so this is, you know, current self helping your future self, which is so powerful, because then like, so for me, what I do is I write down my topic tomorrow that I'm going to be writing about when it's time for me to write. I have the topic ahead of time. And so I know what to write about. So then when I sit down, I don't have to think about it. I'm not in dual focus mode. I just have a singular focus to write about this topic that I've already chosen. So that can really help with improving focus, is like being ahead of the ball, being ahead of your own curve, if that makes sense. And just helping your future self is super, super powerful. And then something else that actually in the summit, those of you that are registered for the summit, you'll get to hear Josh Kaufman and I talk about this. And he talks about the importance of going on a walk in the morning and mm-hmm. having 30 minutes. You leave your phone at home and you get outside. So you go outside, you're moving, you're getting sunlight, but also it's 30 minutes of thinking time where you can just be undistracted and just think. He calls it noodling. You can just let your mind kind of noodle. And he kind of talks about how when you have a productivity system or a focus system that gives you space to think and to be uninterrupted for a little bit, you're going to be far more productive than if you have a system that doesn't give you space to think. And so for him, like he says, like this is to him, he goes, that is like the number one single most important component of being more productive, being more focused, is actually having carved out time on a regular basis where you can just think and just be distraction free. So that's why he says take a walk, because it you can combine that with movement, being outside, getting the sunlight and things like that. It's easier, you know, than like sitting on your couch and staring at the wall for 30 minutes. I don't mean that to like poo-poo that, but I just mean like it can be easier to be undistracted if you're like outside and you left your phone at home and you're outside walking around, as opposed to you put your phone next to you on the couch and you're going to hope that it doesn't buzz. You know, like you could put it in airplane mode, obviously, but it's still like right there. It's kind of, you know, you just want to grab it and take it off of airplane mode. So so I think that. And then Kyle, coming back to your question too, you're going, you've got so many directions that you want to go, right? Exercising, eating, writing down what you're doing the next day, sleeping better, right? I think also people might say, I want to also improve the relationship with my spouse. I also want to get better at budgeting my finances. I also want to get better at budgeting my time. I also, you know, want to read these other books, right? And you look at it and you're like, so much stuff that you want to do, right? And the truth is like, you can't do all of it right now. So you have to pick one thing. And I say, just like, what's the one that's exciting? You know, Kyle, like you listed exercise as the first thing on your list. So I would start with that. And this is actually something, I mean, not to pitch my course, but I'm going to pitch my course. We actually go through all the core areas of your life. So your job, your relationships, your finances, like your downtime, your physical health, and then also your personal, your inner life, your spiritual life, right? So kind of like the six areas of your life. And we actually go through each one of those and spend time on each one where you list out like what's important to you in this area of your life and what's something that, you know, what's a goal that you want to have, or what's what's a lifestyle practice that you want to implement, and how can you move the needle forward toward that goal? And so you come up with like six goals and six action plans, one each for the area, main areas of your life. But then, and kind of spoiler here, but at the end of the course, then what you do is you pick one and you focus on that for 2 months and you ignore the other ones. And I mean, not ignore them in like, in terms of like you ignore your wife for 2 months while you're focusing on work, but you pick one area to build a habit, to build a routine, to build a lifestyle practice that has you making meaningful progress in that area of life. And it takes, you know, a lot of people say it takes 21 days to build a habit. Actually, like if you're a habit building master, you might be able to do it in 21 days. But most people, it takes 60 days. 60 days is like the average. So it's just 2 months, right? And so then I think a lot of people are probably familiar with like the Jerry Seinfeld productivity tip of like the calendar, and you write a joke every day and you put a big X on your calendar and you don't want to break the chain, right? And so it's the same with this new habit of yours of going, okay, what's one thing I can do on a daily basis that's going to help me move toward my goal of exercising more, of just being more physically active? What's like the minimum dose? What's the smallest thing I can do, right? I'm going to go walk for 20 minutes or whatever it is, right? And you do that every single day for 2 months, right? And it's a small, small start. But now you've done it. You got 2 months in, and it's now, instead of it becoming this thing that you're trying to get the motivation to move forward, you're now doing it. It's become routine for you. And so it requires far less activation energy, far less mental energy. It just kind of has like it's moved into your life. It's there. It's now something that you're doing on a daily basis. Now You pick the next thing. Okay, I got the exercise thing. Okay, so you keep that and now you layer the next thing on top of it. And so, okay, what's something that you want? You're doing that for your physical health. What about for maybe for your personal, like your inner life or your spiritual life? What's something that you would want to layer on top of that that you could do? Okay, well, you know what? Now during that walking time, I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm going to think about, you know, I don't know, like whatever it is, Meg, if you read the Bible or something like that, you could maybe say, I'm gonna have a Bible verse that I think about during my 30-minute walk. Or if you're trying to, you know, maybe you want to improve the relationship with your wife or your spouse, maybe bring them along with a 30-minute walk. Now you can incorporate this and now, okay, I'm going to do this on a regular basis. You do that for 2 more months and then you pick the next layer. And, you know, maybe it doesn't build on that 30-minute walk itself. Like maybe it's entirely other different part of the day, or whatever. But like the core is, it's like you just pick the one thing and you do it for like 2 months and you allow yourself to like suck at all the other areas of your life for those 2 months while you pick this one thing. And this is why New Year's resolutions never work, because we go, I'm going to go to the gym for like 5 hours a day, every day, starting on January 1st. And I'm going to start budgeting, and I'm going to stop eating chocolate, and I'm going to go on date nights every week, you know, and I'm going to start reading a book a week. January 1st, go, right? And it's like so much. It's like just, you're going to run up and try to push like a giant, you know, truck or something like that. You just don't have the energy. You just don't have the strength to move that much and to change that much that quickly, you know? And it's like, whatever. I mean, like, you know, the truck analogy, right? If you're driving a car and you're going to try to tow another car, you don't like gun it with all this slack on the tow line, you're going to rip both of the bumpers off, right? So you start super, super slow. And then you slowly build up that speed. But then that's the way that you do it without wrecking and actually making that momentum. So you start with just the one thing. And the hard thing is giving ourselves permission to just pick one thing and focus on that for two whole months. That's the hardest part, really. It's not in the doing. It's in the not despising those small beginnings. So that's like the crash course of the focus course, right? That you guys just kind of got. Like, this is the value. If you stick around for the after show at Sean West, this is what you get.
I was thinking about this, man. I might have to break this up into 2 episodes because this is super good.
Go for it. Yeah, totally. I love it.
I'll see how it goes. But anyways, I can't follow that. I mean, I could try, but I'm going to say a lot of the same things. So I love that. So I'll summarize it and agree with Sean and say, pick one thing. One action that you can do tomorrow morning that'll get you closer to the most important goal. I know how many goals you have right now. I know, because I have that many goals too. But pick one thing and write it down, put it on it, get a little calendar, make a big X, do that thing every day. You'll get other stuff done too, but you need to think about doing one important thing first thing in the morning, right after you wake up, get that thing done, and then pat yourself on the back, feel good about it, and move on to the next stuff.
Mm-hmm. This is so good. I gotta plug my course. The course walks you through this, and it gives you the actual. When you're done, you know exactly what to do.
Absolutely.
It's
focuscourse.com.
Not gonna lie, it's pretty great.
Go get it. Go get it.
We had a bunch of people going through January. We got a January focus camp going through, and it's super fun. We had a big community, people on the forums. Everyone could be going through the course at the same time. So there's just, it's going to be fun.
Oh man.
A lot of fun.
That's a great way to meet people and to make new friends. So excellent. All right, Sean, Aaron,
thank you.
We got to go, man. Thanks so much for joining me today. Sean Blanc, this has been fantastic. Kyle Adams said you definitely over delivered and I agree with him. So good to have you on the show, man. And, I'll see you on the online focus summit course. Well, man, let me try that one again. I'll see you at the Focus Course Online Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Creative Focus Online Summit. I'm bad at internet sometimes.
Lots of focus everywhere you go. It's the word focus.
Focus Sean Blanc. Focus Sean Blanc. Anytime anyone, I want you to get to the point to where anyone types in focus or Sean Blanc or a combination of the two, then all your websites pop up.
It's true.
Because that would be awesome.
They're all right there.
Beautiful. All right, man. Thanks so much for joining me today. And I will see you somewhere down the road.
I love Corey. His stuff is hilarious in here.
TheFocusCourse.com, what Kyle said.
Mm-hmm.
The Lots of Focus Blanc Sean Creative Summit course launch.
I love it.
All right, man. We might have a team call today. I don't know, but I'll let you go. Really appreciate it. For reals. Nope. Corey says team call canceled today. So we'll figure this out. All right, Sean, I'll let you go, man. Have an excellent day. Get lots of work done.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Bye-bye. All right, that's it for the show today. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to check out Sean's stuff, go to seanblanc.com. That's SeanBlanc. Did I say .com? I meant .net. SeanBlanc.net. Either way will work. All right, have an excellent day, week. Get lots of work done, and I'll see you next time.